This time next week, the 2010 midterm elections will be in full swing with voters heading to the polls. We thought we'd continue our countdown with yet another mini edition of The Political Junkie. That means Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor, and our political junkie is back with us today. Welcome, Ken.
A mini Ken Rudin, yes.
We've been talking to candidates from interesting races around the country. Today, Colorado's 4th District. We'll hear from both Congresswoman Betsy Markey and her Republican challenger, State Representative Cory Gardner. But we also want to hear from our Colorado listeners. 2008 was a big year for Democrats. What has changed this time around? Give us a call at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Ken, can you frame this contest for us?
Well, first of all, not only was 2008 a good year for Colorado Democrats, but there had been a Democratic trend in Colorado going on for several cycles. It had long been thought of to be a red state, but as more new people would move into the state, more independents, they were shifting towards the Democrats. In 2004, Kenneth Salazar was elected to the Senate, taking a Republican seat. In 2006, the Democrats won the governorship, taking a Republican seat. 2008, they got Senator Mark Udall, a Republican seat gone to the Democrats. Betsy Markey, the congresswoman from the 4th District, also won the seat for the first time in 2008. She beat a very conservative, very controversial Republican incumbent, Marilyn Musgrave. Betsy Markey is the first Democrat to win the seat since the 1970s. But basically, as much as Musgrave and the Republicans were controversial in 2008, there seems to be a little sea change in Colorado, and it's Betsy Markey and the Democrats who are on the defensive.
All right. Well, we have a Democrat, Betsy Markey, on the line with us. Welcome to you, Congresswoman.
Yes. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Ken.
So we have heard about a big shift there. My, how much things can change in 2 years. You won so handily in 2008. What do you think has changed since then?
Well, when I ran 2 years ago, I talked about jobs and the economy, and that's what I'm talking about again. I mean, you know, let's look at this. When I took office a little less than 2 years ago, the economy was in pretty bad shape, and we were hemorrhaging an average of 750,000 jobs a month. And we've taken some steps. We're seeing some positive growth, but we still have high unemployment around the country. And so, I think people are worried about jobs. They're worried about, uncertainty in the economy, and I understand that.
And we should mention that polls do show you trailing your opponent. What are you telling Coloradans about the economy and what they can hope for?
Well, the latest poll, my latest internal poll, has it tied neck and neck.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that we have really run a grassroots campaign, and some of it's been, an under-the-radar grassroots campaign. I mean, I'm focused on, a lot of people just focus on running negative ads on TV. I've had a number of very positive ads, but then most importantly, we are knocking on doors and making phone calls. I mean, Saturday alone, I just had an army of volunteers, and we knocked on over 7,000 doors and made 20,000 phone calls. And in really tight races like this, that's what's going to make the difference.
Congresswoman, one of the big issues in your reelection campaign is your vote, or should I say your votes, on health care.
Mm-hmm.
You voted against it the first time, then the Senate made changes, then you voted for it. One blog likened you to the John Kerry, "I voted against it before I voted for it." How are those votes playing in the district?
Based on the calls that I get from people in the district, the letters that I get, it's certainly trending much better. It's probably split. But the more people find out about the health care bill, the fact that there's great tax benefits, tax credits for small businesses, insurance companies can write policies across state lines. One piece that I fought for that got into the final bill is that individuals and small businesses can pool together to form their own group for better negotiating power with insurance companies. A lot of good things are in the bill, and so I was happy to support the final version of the bill. But, understand that this is not what is at the top of voters' minds right now. They are worried. It's probably four or five in terms of what voters are concerned about right now. It's jobs. It's the economy. It's getting the deficit under control.
And speaking of that, we have someone on the line, Mark in Fort Collins, Colorado. Go right ahead.
Representative, I know you used to run a business yourself. I guess I was just hoping to hear about some of the things that you're fighting for to bring jobs to Fort Collins and elsewhere in your district.
Right. One of the things that I think has been very helpful, if you take a look at the Recovery Act, I fought very hard to get Abound Solar included in that, and you know they got $400 million in loan guarantees. Now again, this is a loan, but what it will do is to help leverage private capital. Now in Longmont, right now, Abound Solar with this loan guarantee expects to hire up to 1,500 new people. I mean, that's great. We work to get a loan for UQM. They're a company in Frederick in the district. They make the component parts for the Coda electric vehicles. They're going to be expanding and creating another 300 jobs. You know, we need to work with companies like Vestas Wind System, and I know that they are feeling that there's some uncertainty right now in the renewable market. We failed to pass any energy legislation this year. I hope to do it next year, to at least make sure that we make the production tax credit permanent, because that's a great source of new jobs. And when we've got some of the best wind in the country in the 4th Congressional District, and it's not only the jobs that are created in places like Vestas, but, you know, all of the steel and the electric components, the lumber that goes into the wind industry as well, that is the potential to create thousands of new jobs. And then just let me point out one other thing that I've worked very hard on for our rural communities, and that is making sure that all of our rural communities are connected and have access to high-speed internet. The 4th Congressional District has gotten more rural broadband grants than any other congressional district in the country. We need to make sure for education, for health care, for our schools, that, again, every child, every business in the 4th Congressional District has access to high-speed internet, and that's been a priority of mine as well.
We have just a minute left, but Ken Reardon, can I get in a quick question here?
Congresswoman, there are many members of Congress, Democratic members of Congress, who are basically running away from Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership in Washington. How does that play in your campaign?
You know, I have always said that I don't answer to a political ideology. I answer to the people of the 4th Congressional District. I have agreed with leadership and the president on many things, but there's many things that I disagree with them on. And, you know, the fact is, you know, I've raised three kids. I have a lot of practice saying no, and I can do that when necessary.
All right. Representative Betsy Markey, the Democratic incumbent in Colorado's 4th District, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
And we have Republican Cory Gardner on the line now as well. He is a state representative in Colorado. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So one core Democratic message this year is that the GOP will, you know, take us back to the bad old days. The Bush years were really tough. How do you respond to that?
Well, we've run our campaign focusing on real solutions. I think people are tired, and rightfully so, of campaigns that simply focus on don't vote for them because look what you're going to get. And so we've presented ideas and solutions to balance the budget, to get our economy moving forward, to cut spending, to start creating jobs in this nation. And that's really what we've focused our campaign on. We've laid out an agenda called the 2010 Plan that has some specific ideas for job creation in the 4th Congressional District. And so I think this is about looking forward, and our campaign has from day one always been about creating better opportunities ahead.
Mr. Gardner, expanding on Jennifer's question just now, this has long been a Republican district. I think the reason that one of the reasons Betsy Markey won in 2008 was that the Republican incumbent was seen as too extreme and too controversial. What lessons do you think the Republicans learned from their time in the majority that they will not, and mistakes they made that they will not repeat if they take control in 2011?
Well, I think if you look over the past decade, they've learned that when you try to put and forget your principles, when you forget those principles that got people elected, the people realize that and they vote them out of office. And that's what happened to Republicans. That's why we've focused on our core first principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and that when we send somebody, when the people of the 4th Congressional send somebody to Washington, D.C., they send them there to represent the people of the 4th Congressional District, the Constitution of this country, not the special interest or the lobbyists inside the Beltway. And so what Republicans have learned is they've got to be serious about cutting spending. They've got to actually walk the talk and do what they say they're going to do.
And so are you campaigning on any specific cuts? I mean, what would you put out there?
Well, actually, we have. We've talked about cutting back spending to the pre-stimulus era, to the pre-2009 levels of spending, going through and eliminating wasteful, duplicative programs. There are many ways that we can cut spending, but we've also talked about eliminating economic uncertainty. And when you think about all of the things that this Congress has done that have hurt our economy, you know, there's nearly $1.8 trillion that's sitting on the books of businesses that they could invest creating jobs, expanding their business, but they're afraid to do it because they don't know what this Congress or the bureaucracies through their rulemaking processes are going to do. And so they're uncertain in terms of the tax increases that loom in January, and they're waiting for Congress to actually get out of the way and let America work. You know, I'm running for Congress because I believe we have got to cut spending, that we've got to end the wasteful disregard of the taxpayer dollar and let America work.
All right. Let's get a caller here on the line. Mark is in Westminster, Colorado. Go right ahead.
Yes, I got a real big question. Corporations and rich people have had 10 years of very generous tax bills. What do the American people have to show for that, and why should we give them any more?
All right. Thanks for that call. Cory Gardner, go right ahead.
Well, thank you. You know, if the taxes are allowed to increase in January, we've seen statistics that will show the people of the 4th Congressional District will lose over $5,000 per household. The 4th Congressional District itself will lose nearly 1,800 jobs a year. And so what will we have to show for tax increases? We're going to have lower employment, we're going to have less employment, more people losing jobs, and more American households, and like the 4th Congressional District, losing even more of their hard-earned dollars. And so that's the problem with increasing taxes. And that's why we've really got to focus on getting our economy back on track and start creating jobs. You know, the people of the 4th Congressional District are common sense. They understand that cap and trade is going to hurt agriculture. It's going to hurt the economy. They understand that the health care bill is actually not going to reduce costs. But we've seen statistics that show costs will increase. It does nothing to control the cost of health care. They know that card check and EFCA will allow unions even greater power and hurt small businesses. And they know that we continue to rack up amazing amounts of spending.
Mr. Gardner, talking about the health care bill, many Republicans are calling for outright repeal of the legislation. Where do you come down on that?
You know, I grew up in a family business. In fact, work there as often as I can when I'm not in the state legislature. And we've watched as our health care costs have increased over the years. So we know there have got to be solutions that are put in place to lower the cost of health care and increase the quality of that care. But the Dr. Pelosi bill that passed the U.S. Congress is not the solution. We need to put real solutions in place that will actually lower the cost of health care, increase the quality of care. And so I believe we should repeal the bill and put in its place solutions that actually work for the people of this country.
All right, we have another call on the line. Michael in Berkeley, California. Oops, you're not in Colorado, Michael. All right, go right ahead.
I had a question for Mr. Gardner. He talked about cutting spending and getting some balance in the budget, and I was wondering what he wants to do about two-thirds of the budget deficit, which is entitlement reform, and where he would come down when the members of his district don't necessarily support cutting Social Security, but it's something that, you know, has to be done, and I wanted to know what specifically he would do to deal with Medicare and Social Security.
All right. Thanks for that call. Go right in.
You know, I think I look forward to working with members on both sides of the aisle to find solutions. I don't believe that your premise is accurate when we say we have to cut. I don't support cutting. I don't support privatization of Social Security. When it comes to things like Medicare, I think there are solutions that we could put in place from the private sector. As a state legislator, I actually introduced a bill dealing with telemedicine, a telemedicine pilot program that was developed by a hospital in Grand Junction where they spent $150,000. They saved nearly $1 million and reduced the overall visits to the hospital amongst the group of patients that were in the study by 100%, the emergency room visits by 100%. And if we can take those kinds of private sector innovations, put them in place in Medicare and Medicaid, we're actually going to help reduce the cost of both Medicaid and Medicare. That's just one idea.
So no entitlement cuts?
Well, again, I think I look forward to I'm not talking about cutting entitlements. Look forward to speaking with both Democrats and Republicans to find solutions for this country.
Mr. Gardner, you have the Republican nominee for governor of Colorado is a Tea Party person. The candidate for the Senate, Ken Buck, is a Tea Party person. How do you define the Tea Party movement, and where do you come down on that?
Well, listen, I think it's been incredible to see around the country people who are interested in getting involved for the first time, who are learning about the founding documents of this country, the basic principles of liberty that the Constitution defines for us. And so I'm excited about any time or any group, any opportunity that people are actually getting involved in this nation, getting involved in the election, because really the stakes are so high. And so whether it's the Tea Party, whether it's any other organization or group that is getting involved in this country, I hope that they will not just get involved in the 2010 election, but stay involved and hold people's feet to the fire throughout.
Thanks so much. That was Cory Gardner, the Republican challenger in Colorado's 4th District and a member of the Colorado House of Representatives. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right. And Ken, any last thoughts on Colorado a week out? How does the rest of the state look?
Well, again, you have a Senate race that's very close. Michael Bennett, who was appointed to replace Ken Salazar when he joined the Obama cabinet. Michael Bennett is in a tough battle with Ken Buck, who, as I said, is a Tea Party backer, and the polls showed very, very close. On the governor's race, John Hickenlooper, the mayor of Denver, looks like he has a huge lead. The Republican Party seems split between Dan Mays, the nominee, and Tom Tancredo, the former congressman who's running as a third-party candidate. Democrats look like they'll keep the governorship, but the Senate race is a tough battle.
All right, NPR's political editor and our political junkie, Ken Rudin, thank you so much.
Our mini political junkie.
Mini political, yes. The real political junkie.
That's true.
Tomorrow.
That's true.
If you can't wait till then, you can always find Ken's blog, podcast, and his election scorecard at npr.org/junkie. Tomorrow, historian Joseph Ellis on John and Abigail Adams. And Monday, we'll talk with the author behind a new oral history of the Mickey Mouse Club. We'd like to put together a gallery of photos of you in your mouse ears. They can be recent or from 40 years ago. Scan those images and email them to us at talk@npr.org. Put Mickey in the subject line. We'll post that gallery if we get enough photos on Monday. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Washington. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.